This is Wade Rathke with the Chief Organizer's Report on the fast food trade-offs, less jobs for living wages. In the national publicity, one day strikes for higher wages of $15 per hour that wave their banners in hundreds of cities around the country, no one really believes that the $15 per hour figure is anything other than a rallying cry or, in bargaining terms, a first proposal. Organizers, including the Service Employees International Union, would clearly accept a lot less and perhaps not much more than the average wage nationally of around $8.70 per hour that workers are getting now. Nonetheless, it's interesting to hear the comments of various economists and researchers on the impact of a $15 per hour fast food wage. Most of them interviewed by Stephen Greenhouse of the New York Times, whether for or against it, seemed most divided over the impact on prices, with a range from Ken Jacobs at Berkeley of 10% to the industry at 25% up. Even at the top end, the discussion is whether a hamburger at $3 would now cost $3.60. If all this were to come to pass. Heck, as unhealthy as these burgers are, it's a wonder that outgoing mayor of New York City, Bloomberg, didn't already try to charge them $5 per hour just to save lives alone. Only David Newmark, an econ professor at UC Irvine, was willing to garner a guess at the impact on employment, saying that paying $15 per hour would cut the fast food workforce by about 5% or so. Others were more reserved, saying that it had not been studied, but it would have an impact, or that it might accelerate automation or whatever. How bad would that be? The census estimates there were 4.1 million fast food workers in 2012. If employment losses due to $15 wage rates were 5%, 205,000 jobs would be lost. I hate to tell you this, but and I hope it's not a secret, but that's not a bad trade-off if 3.9 million, or almost 4 million workers, all of a sudden have a living wage in these jobs. I'd take that deal in a minute. Mary Kay Henry, president of SEIU, was quoted as saying wage increases don't put companies out of business, and it's in our interest to make sure we secure our employment, not to reduce employment. Yes, that's true, but it's certainly not always true as a union organizing strategy, including for SEIU. A major construct of SEIU's signature Justice for Janitors campaign was the attempt to stabilize the cleaning industry by securing more full-time jobs and reducing the total number of part-time jobs so that workers could make a decent living as cleaners. The major organizing program for almost all the building trade unions is to secure and protect higher wages by increasing training and standards that are primarily designed to historically limit the number of jobs in the construction industry, which is what hiring halls are often really about. Same for longshoremen and so many other unions. The organizing math is clear in fast food. If more money means fewer jobs, then so be it. In reality, the articulated strategy for SEIU seems to be to bring some of the big companies to the table and calf off a sliver of this huge non-union job sector into the ranks of organizing labor, which might, if wildly successful, mean some higher wages for some of the workforce, while the rest continue to make whatever. The prospects are probably higher to embrace some slight downturn in the employment count in exchange for higher living wages than to believe that the big companies are going to subsidize wage increases for franchisees by taking less or some other sleight of hand. We don't have to live with a permanently low-wage food service job sector in exchange for a cheaper burger. If reduction in the job count means that 4 million workers almost finally can make a decent living doing the work, wouldn't that burger taste better then, even if it might be killing you later? This is Wade Rathke. For questions or comments, www.chieforganizer.org. You take it from here to there.